The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
Too long-winded, but I figured it'd be best if people knew, like, who we are and why we thought we should do a podcast.
It's probably a good plan.
That's what I'm thinking. If it's not, then, you know, maybe we'll get like one or two listeners and then everyone else will drop off.
It's a good possibility. But
I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like I know my family will listen to it. I'll listen to it and you'll listen to it. And so that's at least a handful.
Yeah. It'll at least make us look like we have a good number of subscribers.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so first off, thank you for being a part, and I appreciate you taking the time out for us to kind of continue in educating people within and those that are out of kind of like the keto community, and those that are just looking to, I don't know, listen in on the shenanigans that go on with people that do keto and how life works and why we've chosen to do this extreme diet, because I know a lot of people think it's an extreme diet, but you know, I hope to kind of educate people on that. So I'll start, I guess. My background, my wife was just telling me, which sounds so crazy saying that to you, to not be long-winded on things, but you know, I played sports pretty much my entire life. I grew up doing that and looking at however I could increase my performance via food. And I would say the one thing that I remember more than anything else is sitting at my kitchen table in high school drinking these like 2200 calorie weight gainer shakes. They were like, oh my gosh, it was ridiculous. I used to have to put them in these cups that were like this big. They were huge. And wait, that's not even the best part. It was 2200 calories with milk and ice cream added, so probably like 3000 calories. I'd buy them at GNC, and then when I was done drinking them, I would eat a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Dude, you were the guy that I hated, like my brother, who would sit there and pound all this food, run and like hop on the scale to try to have gained weight. And I was like, I want to just be able to have a normal milkshake and not gain weight.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you know, everyone envies that until you realize how miserable that feels. I mean, I would drink that and eat that peanut butter and jelly sandwich and feel like I was going to vomit all night. And then I go to sleep. So, I mean, man, thinking about it now, I'm like, golly, that was such a metabolic disaster. But that's what I did. And I did pretty much anything and everything I could to gain weight. So fast forward, eventually, I thought what everyone else thought. My metabolism slowed down and I got fat. And when that happened, I was like, well, I guess I don't need any more of these protein shakes. So that was fantastic. But, you know, I kind of yo-yoed back and forth and gained a bunch of weight, lost a bunch of weight. And then finally I got to the point where I gained a ton of weight unknowingly, right? Like I had no idea. It kind of just like crept up on me. And at this point in time in life, I had already gone through pharmacology school and had been a personal trainer certified two different times. And I really was just like, well, I already know what I need to do, so I'll just, you know, lose weight. And it was not working. I was taking like wheatgrass shots every morning, my green smoothies with my kale char. And yeah, seriously, it was disgusting. But I did it. And, you know, again, I really just felt like I'm broken. I can't lose weight anymore. And so I started looking at, I would never really say extremes, right? I was just looking at things I hadn't tried before that I thought would help, you know, me kind of facilitate the weight loss. So I stumbled upon intermittent fasting. And when I say stumbled,
that was my favorite phase, just so I can tell you, because we got to pound cookies during your window. It was great.
Oh, my goodness.
That was awesome. The window is open. I just remember you saying that, and it was down. Sorry, I just had to throw that in. That was a fun. I was actually just thinking about that earlier today. I was like, can we go back to just the plain IF phase when that we thought worked?
I mean, and it did, right? I mean, like,
not as effectively as other things, but it did work for a good amount of time.
I mean, yeah, and I think that's the number one reason why I have a pet peeve with those people that are like, oh, I could do this on keto and lose weight. Because I'm like, there's so many ways to lose weight that are much more enjoyable if you just want to lose weight. And when I say much more enjoyable, I mean initially, that require a lot less change. Me eating throughout specific times, it really wasn't a change. It wasn't really a big deal. And I dropped a good 70 pounds doing intermittent fasting. It was absolutely awesome. I loved it. But and even that kind of stretched my, you know, like understanding everything from sports and nutrition, understanding everything from like pharmacology and the drug to drug interaction, homeostasis, all of those things. And then understanding actual application of food and how our body processes those things, and hormone levels and regulations, whatever. Intermittent fasting still kind of stretched my brain. And how long did it take me to get you to do intermittent fasting, Brittany? It was wild.
I mean, it took a good amount of time, but like really what sold me was I can eat whatever I want during that window if I can just hold out for that long. But I really struggled for the holding out for 16 hours. I grew up very much like I was a breakfast eater. So for me, that stretch to get to even 10 o'clock was hard. But and I didn't last very long in it, mostly because I was eating so many carbs. I was just craving all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I know that. At the time, I didn't, but
it's been crazy. Either way, I think that, you know, that aspect of things, intermittent fasting was great. And then, you know, kind of stumbling again into keto with, I won't go through the long drawn story of how I came across keto, because now it doesn't really matter. Everyone is seeing the word. It's like a catchphrase that people are kind of posting everywhere. So it doesn't really matter how you hear about keto or how it comes to light. It's just the fact that it's one of those things that, one, most people get wrong, right? Like, they have absolutely no idea what they're doing or why they're doing it that way. And then, two, most people think it's impossible to sustain long-term, which,
you know. I was one of those people.
Yeah. I mean, it's just.
Like, we had many conversations about that, so.
Yeah. So, I guess, with that said, I'm down, I don't know, 146, 147. I really don't weigh that much anymore, so I don't know. Pounds. And in listening to all the podcasts that I listen to, I'm a huge fan of a lot of people in the keto community and their podcasts, and I love what they do. But I feel like there aren't enough podcasts with just normal people, and those that can listen in and relate to their journey. And so I wanted to kind of have a podcast where we could bust through some of the myths of the craziness, right? Like, No, that's not true. You can't just eat protein and then worry about it turning into sugar. Like, it doesn't work that way. Bust through exogenous ketones and why everyone thinks they have to have them, and peanut butter is not keto and why, and just random stuff, right? But then also just kind of create this atmosphere and environment where people could listen to normal people talk about their keto experience so that they could relate and recognize that they too could do it. You know, as far as my background with the pharmacology and nutrition and all of those things, I have a ton of extensive insight that I could share about a lot of different things that really just make people feel confused. And I don't want that to be the case. I want people to tune into our podcast and feel like they can digest the information, learn a ton, and kind of sit across the table from us and hear what it is we're discussing and why. Cool?
Yeah.
Was that short enough and compressed? Because I know people are going to listen back to this and say, he took so long to say nothing.
I mean, we're still under 10 minutes, so that's a record for you. We're good.
Thank you. And I'm nobody knows that yet. You will as we start recording more podcasts. You're going to be like, man, this guy is long-winded. So you share a little bit about you, whatever you'd like to share, whatever you don't want to share. And then, you know, I'll press you for more info, I'm sure.
So I... Unlike Alice Neo.
hold on. Let's clarify.
I knew that was going to happen.
It's okay. Let's clarify, because some people are going to be like, what was she going to call? Was she going to say Alice? Because that's not cool. So, yes, officially, my name is Alistair. However, I am new and revived, a new version of myself. And so I will forever continue to go by the name Neo. But if for some reason people slip up and they say Alistair, no biggie, that is my name. It actually means helper of mankind, so I think it's pretty apropos that this is what I do now. But Neo is where we're going. So Neo, the Matrix, the Keto Matrix, full circle, see it all come together. But go ahead, continue.
So unlike Neo, I, for the longest time, never really ate to benefit my performance. I ate because I like to eat, and basically I worked out. I mean, I enjoyed playing sports and stuff all through grade school and high school and college, but I basically worked out so that I could eat. And after my freshman year of college, where I played both basketball and soccer, JV level, not anything crazy, but I was still working out a ton. And I would have gained the freshman 15 plus some, except for that I was working out so much. Well, then sophomore year, when I was only playing basketball, I started to gain. And then junior year, when I was not playing either, I gained quite a bit, and hit the heaviest I've ever been. That summer, I dropped about 30 pounds, just with running and watching what I was eating. I was in a pretty intensive summer program with school, studying for a big exam, and running was like the one thing that I could do to kind of decompress but not feel like I was being unproductive or lazy. And that's actually where I started, when I developed a love for running. Prior to that, anything longer than a mile was considered long distance, and I hated it.
I still subscribe to that theory, by the way.
it was anything longer than that. Running was a punishment for soccer, basketball, softball, track. And like, if there was no thing that I was running towards or a ball involved, it was stupid to me. Now I really enjoy running. Part of that's because it doesn't require other people, and I can listen to podcasts, worship music, do whatever. And it was super effective for weight loss. I, over the last probably 10 years, started really trying to become a little bit more focused on taking care of my body, and not just like it not just being about weight. But even with that, the real focus of just taking care of my body and being a good steward of my body became a big thing for me over the last 3 to 4 years. So I started trying several different things. I actually was really moving more towards a vegetarian, or not a vegetarian, but a vegetable-based diet prior to starting on keto. So you can imagine if I was there, every time Neil was like, hey, you should do this, I was like, hey, no freaking way.
Man.
Trying to give up meat altogether. I just was...
You were trying to torture yourself. It's okay. You can say that.
No, I really enjoyed it. An apple and peanut butter is one of my favorite snacks. Keto... at the time, I felt like I was like starving my soul when I couldn't have that. And honestly, that was one of the things that I told Neo that I would miss the most when the first time he tried to convince me. I was like, I like apples too much. Like, it's just not happening. Yeah, I went through several different things. It was a very slow process over time, but I was consistently losing, and it was maintainable. And so for me, I was like, you know, I'm happy in this. I feel good. But I would still have these times where I felt like once I started off of whatever eating pattern I was on, a day or two off of it, and I was like off to the races, and before I know it, I am 10 to 15 pounds up again, and I'm like, why am I in the same thing, same spot I was however long ago?
Yeah, I create this perpetuating cycle, right, of going back and forth.
Correct. Yeah. So one of the things that attracted me to keto was when you and your wife had continually said that you didn't feel like you were addicted to food anymore. I work in the addiction field. And so that was something that kind of rang true with me, because working in the addiction field and not being, quote, in recovery myself is kind of unusual in some aspects. And so a lot of times people, when they find out I'm in the field, will ask if I am in recovery or if I have an addiction. And I would always say to food and to shopping. And at first it was kind of like a joke to kind of
Break the ice.
Get the ice, and we go on from there. But actually, over the last few years, I really realized that while that was a joke, it really wasn't a joke, and that just because those were two very socially acceptable things, they were actually both very much true, particularly on the food side of it.
Wait.
And
Before you move past that, and I don't mean to cut you off, but
yeah.
I think it's so important that we kind of touch on that just for a second. So, I think you're absolutely right. The addiction side of things, my wife and I have been talking to you about keto for what seemed like forever, right? And it had never dawned on me with your experience and work within the addiction field, to even bring that up. But no joke. Socially acceptable. That was such a strong thing that you said, because I do feel like food and being addicted to it is such a socially acceptable thing that we don't put nearly the weight on it that we should. No pun intended with the word weight. But we're literally accepting the fact that we're killing each other each and every day with what we would consider love. I know that, like I would express love for people through cooking for them and having the right things and making sure that they could eat everything that they wanted and killing them, basically, essentially, with lasagna. So, I think that that's, one, something to recognize, like, this really is an addiction, which means we are going to battle it every day. We have to make the decisions to eat properly. And then to understand that, it kind of hit home to me when I realized that sugar itself is 8 times more addicting than heroin and cocaine. Like, that's not a joke. Like, that's real. So, if that's seriously that level of strength and addiction to us, for us to do that, and we socially accept that, we have to be able to recognize and put the weight to it. So, kudos for that. I mean, one, that you were self-aware enough to recognize that you had a pull towards food, and I don't know how your shopping issue has gone or changed, but
It has improved greatly. There was a very there actually I went an entire year where I did not purchase anything other than like groceries or
wow.
something where I was purchasing a gift or something for other people, but I wasn't allowed to buy anything for myself. It was a long
Holy
year, but
cow.
actually after I thought like when it first was put on my heart, I was like, there's no way that's happening, but I'm gonna try it. And the grace was totally there for it. And after the first month, it really was not bad at all. And now it's been one of those things that I just have to watch it, like, because it is really easy to just all of a sudden not be cognizant of how much you're spending or what you're doing. But a budget app on my phone has been great to help me keep track of stuff like that, and kind of similar to my MyFitnessPal. I track
Wow.
what I spend too, and it works out well.
That's cool. I never even knew that. So that's fantastic. And you'll probably I'll, on offline I need you to share that app, 'cause I love to buy things. Okay, cool. So that was like the addiction kicked in, you recognized that and you wanted to kind of move away from that. And then what were your like emotional aspects around that that continued to actually make that step?
I had gotten to the point where what I constantly would tell you, and like we talked about, was that I didn't think it was sustainable long term, and because I would always say I could never do that.
Right.
And one of the things that came to mind was, could you not do it, or do you not want to do it? And I was like, well, I don't want to do it. That's super restrictive. It's crazy. Like, why I shouldn't have to go that extreme. But then I started again thinking that, and I would hear the conversations that I would have with my patients. Again, about things and people thinking that, oh, well, I can just continue to play around with this or try to get by in moderation or doing things. But really, it is something what seems very extreme to someone who does not struggle with that. But it is still, if you do struggle with it, then it is something that you need to do. And so I was like, oh, okay. But I was like, if that's what it's going to take to not feel like this controls me, then I'm all in and let's at least try it. And I was always like, worst case scenario, I try it and I don't like it. Yes, I'm going to put all the weight back on and probably plus some and feel like crap and yada yada. But at least I tried it as opposed to not doing it because I was afraid to try it. So
Now that
that's
you
kind of
say
what
that,
led.
I feel like you're the first person that I ever had start keto on a trial basis. Because remember, I just now remember it. I was kind of like, yeah, that's right. She started and we were like, yeah, let's give it. I think we said 30 days at first, right?
Yeah, I said, I told you I'd give you the 6 weeks because you told me that that's how long it takes to kind of like to do that initial 6 week get to you. And so I had said, okay, I'll give you 6 weeks, but it wasn't going to start for like 2 weeks because I had vacations and stuff coming up that I was like, it's going to be too hard to make that work. And then I remember being like, if I'm starting this, like I need to do it because otherwise I'm just going to go on a total bender for the next 2 weeks. And then I'm going to be even more miserable. Like, so I was like, let's just start it. And we planned it a couple of days so that I didn't potentially have keto flu when I had a really big meeting. But we just went with it and made it work on the trips. And I will say when you're being a tourist on keto, newly starting and not really sure how to make it, and you're trying to keep strict numbers, it sucks. I texted them multiple times and said, dude, not cool. but it was totally worth it.
I don't think that anyone recognizes that. I never say keto's easy, right? Like, it's not. It's easy to an extent, right? And after you get past certain points. But, I mean, I don't think anything that's as life-changing as keto is, it doesn't just come with ease. It's not like, oh, yeah, cool, I just gave up sugar, it was easy. Like, it's not.
Right.
It's totally, totally a decision that needs to be made and then committed to and recommitted to pretty much every day. So, congrats.
Pretty much
so,
every hour, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, every time you pass that Dunkin' Donuts that you used to go into to get the donuts.
Exactly. Or you pull into any coffee drive through and you're like, okay, I'm going to do just a black one or maybe some heavy whipping cream if we're going to get crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. So we are outside of fasting zone. Okay, we can put some cream in there.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. I don't know if I should share this or not, but I'm going to share it anyway. I want you to go through, like, your absolute favorite crazy addiction food-wise. Like, what would you, like, if you were like, oh, I could eat anything right now, what would it be?
Oh, my God. I don't know that I could pick, but probably easily tacos. Like, Mexican food in general, chips and guac, tacos, like, that is my thing. But I also am not just a salty tooth person. I also have a huge sweet tooth. So anytime you eat, like, you need dessert after. And that will probably be ice cream or cookies. And probably peanut butter and chocolate flavored of some sort.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So yeah. For me, I think, first off, I just want to take a moment to reflect on the days that I used to go to P.F. Chang's. They have this cake called the Great Wall of Chocolate.
And
it's remarkable. So if you're listening to this podcast right now and you feel like you're a fat kid, just know that we are too. But either way. So my favorite is probably Italian food. Like, I could totally, without a doubt, go for chicken parmesan. And instead of, like, spaghetti and meatballs, I'd probably go with, like, chicken parm with a side of lasagna, with some really nice fresh garlic bread, some olive oil, and I don't know, tons of cheese, and then of course followed by some kind of amazing then followed by some kind of crazy dessert. My sweet tooth is real. I don't know how I have made it as far as I have without being diabetic. I guess it's just from always working out, but at the end of the day, I know that with the amount of sugar I'd consume on a daily basis, I would just, oh my goodness. I mean, I used to do dessert, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, there was no meal that didn't deserve to have dessert afterwards. It's like, that's the way you finish a meal, period. So very cool. Okay, so my thought process now is, now that you're in keto, you've gone past your 6 weeks and the whole nine yards, like, you're a fully committed keto individual. Would you ever, and could you ever see yourself going back to a sad sugar-based diet ever? And don't lie to the listeners.
No, I'm not. I'm gonna be honest. It depends on the day.
Yeah.
There are a lot of days that I really think I'm like, you know, it wasn't so bad, or I could totally go back to it. Or, like, I think about, is this something that I can see myself doing 10 years from now? And when I look at it just from the weight side of things, that's the day that I can convince myself that being fat and happy is not necessarily a bad thing.
Short-lived, but fat and happy.
Fat and happy. Die fat and happy, man. But when I think about how different I feel after I have had a cheat or I've gone and eaten things I shouldn't have eaten, like, I can physically feel that. And when I think about how different I feel that way, I tell myself it's not worth it. And so those are the days that I'm like, it's not worth it. This is about being able to maintain and be around for the long haul, as physically fit and able-bodied as possible for whatever it is that I face and see on a regular basis. However, I also struggle with the idea of what it looks like with international travel and being in cultures where keto is not necessarily a super doable thing because just out of what they have available is all carb-based just because of their current living conditions. And so there are times that I'm like, I don't know what that'll look like. I'll figure it out at the time. But there may be periods of time where, depending on where I go, BT dubs, international travel, obviously is something that is close to my heart, more missions-based. And so that's kind of why that thought process crosses my mind and what I think about looking at the future.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
If that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense. And I, you know, I guess you mentioned cheats. I'm always like, guys, my mom just cheated recently. So my niece was born and she was down helping with my sister and family and all that kind of good stuff. And my mom's been keto, I want to say 4 months now, which she's having amazing success. But the thing I always tell people is, one, I think when you cheat, you should go hard.
Absolutely.
And I know you are very well aware of how crazy I go on cheats. And so
we mentioned that we each have an inner fat kid. We bring it out in each other, like, hardcore.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that...
cheat harder.
Yeah, seriously, like, oh, come on. You guys have no idea how to crush sugar? Let me show you.
Oh, let me.
Yeah, but I will say that, hands down, every single time I've ever cheated, I think it'd be cheated would be the proper word, I can totally feel not only like old injuries, you know, I've abused my body for so long with canine decoying and sports and everything else, like the swelling, the 5 knee surgeries and the inflammation in my bones, the cognitive thought and the delay, like just so many things that make me feel bloated and disgusting that I'm always just like, yeah, that cheat was great, but I'm done. Like, I need to go back to keto.
Yeah, by the end of, like, especially if I do a longer cheat, like, I'm like, oh my God, my body just wants keto. Like, I'm like, can I please just have some eggs with cheese and bacon?
Yeah.
With heavy whipping cream in it, obviously.
Exactly, because you got to add the fat.
Right, I think fried up in some butter. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think that for me, knowing that this will forever be a lifestyle for me, I encourage cheats for that reason. Only based on the fact that it's a quick reminder of how horrible we felt living that way every single day. Like, I can't get over the fact that that was the everyday. The everyday was gas and indigestion and feeling bloated and uncomfortable. And even if it was just for the period of time after that specific meal, for whatever reason, you know, it still was just a daily occurrence. So I'm so glad that we're not there now. And I'm so glad for people to now have the ability to make that be the thing that's socially acceptable and allow that to be the change that we can kind of help drive forward. So that's awesome. Now, my question to you is this. Have you and do you have one person in mind that has not gone keto yet that you are dying to have them go keto? And who is it?
I honestly don't have like any... one person. I wish my entire family would, just so that when I went home it was easier because there wouldn't be all the junk food around that I want to eat. But also for purposes of knowing how I feel on a regular basis, and anytime I hear people talk about different digestive related ailments specifically, then I'm kind of like, oh, I wish you would just try this and see how you feel on it. I get that you mentally though have to be in a place to do it. This again, if you go back to the idea of addiction, you can try to get people into treatment and you can try to get them the help that they need or as much as you want to until you're blue in the face. But until they are at that point where they're mentally like, I'm over this, I'm ready, I want to try it, they're not going to be ready. They're not like, they can't do it for you. They have to be able to be at a place where they're doing it for themselves. So that's not really a great answer, but
no, an answer's still the same. I mean, that just means not one specific person, but pretty much everyone that complains about anything, because keto is a solution for so many different ailments, which I think is great and so true. I think for me, if I thought about it, you know, there's so many different people that I can think of that I'd say, oh, I really want them to experience keto. But looking at and watching my mom crush it, I would say I really, really wish my dad would do keto. I think that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, his life would forever be changed if he did keto, in so many different ways. But I also recognize that no one's going to do it until they make the mindset to say, okay, I'm committed to, I'm going to make this change, which is why this is the Matrix. You know, I was trying to come up with like, what am I going to call this? Like, what do I think about all of this? And I love The Matrix as a movie. Favorite movie of all time, by the way, is Top Gun. Just throwing that out there for random information. But The Matrix comes in like a close second. And the reason for that is that you don't know what you don't know until you open yourself up to knowing it. And I feel like that is the biggest hurdle that anyone has when they want to start something new, right? Is whether or not they're open to truly experiencing and learning all that that journey and adventure has for them. Because if you're not and you're closed off to it, even if you were talking about traveling abroad, whether it's for missions or whether it's for just like checking out Rome, like if you stay in your hotel the whole time, you'll be really limited on what you get to experience and see and take in.
Right.
Whereas if you allow yourself to be opened up and mentally shift and open yourself up to knowing things differently, like, oh my goodness, it's so much crazier. Like carbs and where they actually fit into our life and vitality, and sugars and artificial sweeteners and vegetables. And, you know, I can't wait to continue being able to show and share and allow people to recognize how much life change they have. I think for me, keto, beyond the weight loss, right? Like I never started keto to lose weight. It was all about an efficiency thing for me. But when I look at keto, it truly enables me to feel like no matter what the obstacle or challenge is in life, beyond just food, right, that if I'm open to learning how to overcome it, that I am completely capable and in the position ketogenically to do so. Whether it's working ridiculous hours or making a really long road trip or just not having food for a period of time and doing an extended fast or just whatever it is. Knowing that I could do keto when it was something I thought was completely impossible and having it take me as far as it has, I feel like I can do anything. And so that level of confidence to me, I think, is invaluable.
Nice.
Which seems crazy. But having said all that, I know we're going to have some guests that come on. What are some things that you want to make sure get covered for people as we share, from you personally or from the channel in general, that people can kind of look forward to long term or in the future?
I definitely want to make sure, and I know that we will cover the emotional roller coaster that can come from being on keto. Like, I mean, I've had high highs and ridiculous lows, and everything in between. And that's one of the things that, so you're going to hear me constantly referencing addiction, but, the emotional ties that we have with food, I don't think we realize how often that happens. And that's one of the things that I think that you benefit with in keto, because you'll all of a sudden be like, why? Like you'll start noticing when you crave certain things and what that's tied to. And most of the time it's an emotional response. And in addiction, like you do truly develop a relationship with whatever it is that is your substance of choice. And again, it's just because it comes back to that dopamine release. And so whether it's sugar that's causing that or heroin or nicotine or whatever, you get into that. not, and looking at it from the practical side of it, not all the super scientific, like, yada yada that everybody's like, what the heck are you talking about right now? but like just going into, hey, I felt this way, and I can look back and realize that's a normal feeling, but that doesn't have to be your normal and what you can do about it. And looking at, because like you said, keto, that phrase is like the new tagline right now, and you will hear people saying, yeah, I do keto. And I once had a friend who said that they did keto, and I was like, oh, okay, what are you doing? Like, what are your ratios or whatever? And he was like, oh, well, I just cut out bread and pasta. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, what fat did you? Because, and at this point, I wasn't doing it. I just knew from watching you do it what it was. And he, I was like, that's not keto. There's a lot of sugar still in there. There's like, I was like, that's low carb, but.
Or lower carb.
But really just being able to, sometimes it can just feel like there's a lot of rules to it. And you'll see all different quote ways to do it. And so just having some understanding as to why each thing is, because if it's just following a set of rules, then it, you're only going to be able to do it for so long, but kind of helping people to have a better understanding of why you don't eat peanuts or why you don't do this or why you can choose to do that. But this is like, so people can make educated decisions in their journey.
Yeah, like why net carbs should never be followed.
That too.
Yeah. I think so first off, let me just say,
and
I actually...
Helping, sorry, the other thing, helping people identify, like, those gimmicks that are out there. The one that comes to mind right now is the fat water that I saw one time. And then the keto creamer that actually had more carbs than fat on the ratio, no protein. I was like, there's absolutely nothing keto about that. Like, it was like 0.5 grams of fat and 3 grams of carbs per serving. And I'm like, what the heck? But if you don't know, it says keto creamer. So you have no reason to not, like, yeah. So just helping to identify stuff like that too.
I actually want, you said that. And before I go into the client talk, I am actually pulling that up right now because we need to throw this out there. So you sent me this picture. It's Fuel Your Body, Fuel Your Brain, Keto Creamer, sweetened with coconut sugar. First off, let me just explain something to you. If someone says something's keto and they put the word keto in it and then it's followed by sugar anywhere on the bag, throw it in the garbage or go tell it, run to the store manager and tell them they should discontinue carrying it because that's just insane. like, seriously. So yeah, it's called Keto Creamer. And it says vegan, like, oh, hey, it's vegan, so that's got to be good. And yeah, let's go over the nutrition facts on this real quick. So serving size for 2 teaspoons, not even a tablespoon, but 2 teaspoons. It's got 1.4 grams of fat with 3 grams of total carbohydrates. Of that, 2 grams of those carbs are from sugar. That to me is absolutely insane, like crazy insane. So yeah. But they are marketing this as keto something. So, yeah, I think that's by far we will definitely throw out that kind of stuff that makes no sense. The other thing that I really want to kind of hone in on or that you had mentioned about like the addiction and the association with food. And, you know, I had a client today that had a mental breakdown, like literally like lost it. And very, very intelligent individual. And they just felt like they were the only ones. You know, they were like, oh, I feel like I'm the only one that has these problems. Like, why do I do this? Why is this me? And, you know, I feel like that is like the furthest thing from the truth. There are so many of us, right? Like, I feel like we are all addicted to food, even if we haven't come to the realization yet. Like, even if we don't know that we're addicted to food, and like you said, I think that when you go keto and you start looking at your emotional response to food, you can be aware of that like you've never been before. Because I posted this, you know, I thought this was like so profound. I got like 5 likes, but I was saying how you could cheat and stay within your macros. Meaning, you know, for me, I had a really stressful day, and I planned my macros out meticulously, and I'm very religious with eating what I'm supposed to when, right? When I'm in, like, mm-hmm. you know, a certain trial period. And if I emotionally go to eat my next meal because I got stressed out, and then I'm like, okay, well, it's prepped, and it's planned, and it's weighed, but I need to eat it right now because I'm upset about the situation. Like, I haven't actually changed the addiction. All I've done was allow myself to respond within my macros to said problem. So, you know, the fact that keto has allowed me to be so much more self-aware, I think that for people that are out there that are just looking to be the best version of themselves, this is obviously an amazing nutrition tool for health and wellness and all of that. But it's an amazing tool for you to become more self-aware of, you know, how you react to the addiction that we have that is food. And other things. So yeah, I think you're spot on with that. And you know what? I think we're two crazy random individuals that will share information. And people may never tune in to listen to either one of us. They may only tune in to listen to our guest, but I am glad that we have the opportunity. I think it's fascinating that we literally can take this time, record information, and then, you know, put it out there for millions of people to kind of sign in and listen to. So mm-hmm. I'm honored, and I hope that you know, I hope that people come and listen and can relate and grow through and, you know, kind of walk this keto journey out with us and everyone else that's doing it together, you know?
Yeah, because we definitely are still what, like, I mean, obviously you're farther along in yours than I am because I started however long after, but it is something. You learn something new probably daily about yourself, yeah. about food, about different things. You have your ups and downs. There's days that you totally blow it and you're like, what the, and but just restart the next day and it's okay. And even to the point of up, like where you're at right now has been accumulation of things that you're learning. So there's going to be things that we continue to learn along the way that we may look back and be like, what the heck were we thinking when we said that? But like, it just, you continue to develop and like you said, to always be willing to learn new things. And recognize that sometimes you're going to have to eat some crow and be like, hey, so I learned something and what I told you before was totally off, but here we go, moving on, extending that grace to ourselves and to others.
That's a great point. And so, yes, I will say that. I do remember when I used to tell people that net carbs were okay. So for any of you old school people that have been following me for quite some time, if I ever told you net carbs, I'm sorry. But having said that, as a principle so that people do know, if I or Brittany advise you to do something, we will always and only advise it if we've done it ourselves and know how we have responded to said advice. So we will never just say, yeah, go eat this. Like I have people all the time that'll ask me about, what do you think about XYZ supplement? And I'm always like, if I haven't tried it, I can't tell you to take it. I don't care what the label says. If I have not actually experienced it for myself, I will never advise someone to take something. That goes for anything you see sponsored, anything that you see that will advertise in the future, anything like that. If I have not personally tried it, I'll never tell you. Brittany will never tell you. Yeah, go do it. Mm-hmm. I'm all about the hypothesis of science practically applied with the truth and the information given based on the results of those applications. So there's
can
a lot of
can you put that
science
in English terms for people? That was, so, those were some big words.
Yeah. So I don't care if people think something, right? Like they think net carbs is the way to go. After you dig into the science behind why net carbs is what it is and the insulin response generated or elongated from them, I will then apply it to my life, journal and identify how it actually works out, and then share that information. So I don't care if it says XYZ, like, the weight gainer I used to take would be like, drink 2,200 calories and you'll gain XYZ amounts of pounds. And so, look, I drank a lot of that stuff. And I will tell you now, I will never tell anyone to drink it again. So if I haven't done it, I won't share it. And I will only share experience and advice based on things that we have experienced. And then that of, you know, other clients, because, you know, I have hundreds of clients now at this point, and any of those clients that have shared something or gone through or come on, they will be able to share their experiences and things like that. But other than that, hey, if you're listening, welcome to the family. We appreciate having you here. Contact emails, questions, or anything like that, you can send to ketoneo@theketomatrix.com. I will get them, Brittany will get them, and we'll answer them when we can. Anything else, Brittany, you think we should kind of discuss or go over before we sign off? I think we're like 45 plus minutes of right now, I think is not too bad.
I know. I was like, we're about to end at 45 minutes. That's pretty good for us. Cause I mean, I give him a hard time about being long-winded, but if you paid attention, my intro to myself was almost 12 minutes and his was like 9. So be prepared. Just know that about us. But, we're both in it just to, continue to be the best, in the best spot that we can be, but also to try to help others to also be in that same spot. So, know that anything you hear is said out of love. Sometimes
you're saying that for me, you can tell him it's okay.
I was about to say, sometimes his tough love comes off a little bit more tough than love. So just putting that out there, but know that, both of our hearts are in the right spot and, please reach out and have conversations or ask questions before just being like turned off if you hear something that kind of rubs you the wrong way, because it will happen at some point. It's bound to, but that's okay.
Hey, at the end of the day, we'll still have the same 5 listeners we have now.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Okay, cool. Great. Thank you so much. Every Friday will be the day that we post. So look for them, stay tuned, subscribe to the channel, review it, and let us know. And if you have questions, again, ketoneo@theketomatrix.com. Follow us on social media, which for me on Instagram, it's keto.neo. And for Brittany, it is?
I think it's b.r.becker.
Hold on, let me look it up. We will make sure that we put it in the show notes so that you have that information and can find us and follow us. But... well, you know, because this will help us be more
long-winded. I'm not as exciting to follow, so that...
It is b.r.becker, and that's B-E-C-K-E-R. So b.r.becker, both on Instagram and then keto.neo. So that's it. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Peace out.
Enjoy your weekend.
You too.